You wouldn't know the power of God's mercy, that God is great. So it was, that's why David said, it was good that I was afflicted. It was good that I fell, because it was through my failure that I learned that I serve a powerful God. It was through my failure that I learned that I serve a God who is able to save to the uttermost and to the guttermost. Amen, church. Hallelujah. So I moved from sin to grace, right? From iniquity to mercy. And thank God I'm a new creation. Can I get an amen? Amen. So Joseph welcomed the unexpected, because Joseph knew it wasn't about him but someone greater. It's about verse 21. Right? And he will save his people from their sins. See, some of us may complain because our life may have went a different turn. But what if I told you that your detours are your divine destiny? What if I told you that your detours in life is leading you to your divine destiny? See, God has a destiny for you. And you may have taken some detours in your life, some wrong turns and things, but my Bible tells me in Romans 8:28 that God works all things together for his good. And I'm here to tell you that whatever you're going through, there may be some unexpected things happened in your life, but God is working out all things together for your good. And I don't know why this ain't making you shout this morning, but I'm here to tell you that God is good. Listen, Paul didn't say, well, I guess, or maybe. He said, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who are called according to his purpose, those who love God. All things are working together. All things are working together. Amen, church. Divine detours. Right? Joseph wasn't planning to go to these places, but God had a plan for him. What if I told you that God will overcompensate your mistakes? What if I told you that God will redeem you, not only redeem you because of your sins, but he will overdo it? He will give you grace beyond measure. And where you're at today, you don't deserve it, but it's all because of the grace of God. And I'm just here. Can I preach just a minute on the grace of God? It's all because of the grace of God that I'm standing right here in this pulpit preaching the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. It's because of the grace of God that you're lifting your hands right now and saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's because of the grace of God that you're sitting beside your wife, your children, that you're sitting in the house of God, that you're not in prison, that you're not in a hospital. Hey, wait a minute, that you're not in hell? Can I get an amen? It's the grace of God. You know why people get to complaining about their life? Because they don't understand grace. They get to groaning, my life ain't no good, it's taking the wrong turns. Listen, even if my life takes a detour, God's grace is ever great in my life. I've got grace in my house. I've got grace in my church. I've got grace in my job. I've got grace everywhere I go. I'm overflowing with grace. I bleed grace. I bleed mercy. And that's the reason why David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to take a drink of water, and I want you to give the Lord a praise. Look at your neighbor and say, God works in the middle of unexpectancies. Hallelujah. God works. What if God used your failures as stepping stones to your divine destiny? I'm going to tell you to look at your neighbor again, okay? You must trust God, tell them, you must trust God in the process. We focus on progress more than we do process. What we do, we undervalue the process because we want progress so much. But God is molding you. The reason why you took a detour is because God is molding you and preparing you for a new level, a higher level in him. And this is why you got to be content and say, you know what? My life is not going the way I planned it. You know what we call that? You know what we call that when your life doesn't go as you plan it out to be? We call that God's will.
This is what we call it God's will.
Yes, I know things don't work out as we plan, but God has a perfect will. And if you'll trust Him through your failures and your mistakes and whatever you go through, God is going to lift you up and He'll take you places you never thought you went. And listen, He will give you opportunity that will abound. You'll have opportunities hitting you left and right. Opportunities, listen, to serve God. Listen, God wants to bless you. He don't want to hurt you. He's not up there on the throne saying, I don't like you too much because you're kind of bad. No, we call this grace. This is a grace gospel. This is a gospel of blood. This is a gospel of mercy. This is a gospel where we welcome the drunk, the prostitute. It don't matter who you are. We even welcome the religious. We even welcome the Pharisee. We don't care who you are. God's grace is greater. It's greater. Amen, church. Amen. God's grace is sufficient for us. Amen. God moves. I want y'all to listen closely to this and post it on Facebook. It's not where you're headed that makes the biggest difference, so much as what you learn in the process of getting there. Can I say that again? It's not where you're headed that makes the biggest difference, so much as what you learn in the process of getting there. It's not about where you go so much as what you experience in the journey. We always think of a destination, but what if I told you that the destination, and I know this is kind of deep, but what if I told you that the destination is actually in the journey and it's in the process, because it's in the process where God's power is manifested in your life. And I'm here to tell you that when you're going through the process, right? You got to be patient. Look at your neighbor and say, be patient. You got to be content with what God's doing in your life. How many's ever had this question? I think God's forgot me, right? God, have you forgotten me? Why is my life like this? Trust God in the process. I want you to tell your neighbor that one more time. Trust God in the process. Trust Him. Trust Him. Because it's all about the journey, amen? I'm in a journey right now. You're in a journey. We are in a journey. And we are learning as we go, amen? And so God tells us, I want to read Romans 8. I want to go to Romans 8, 28. I know most of us know this, but I want to read it. I want to let you know what the scripture says. Romans 8, 28. And we'll even go to verse 30. Everybody say all things. All things work together. Hallelujah. Look at this. I'm not just saying this, but this is God's words. We know that all things work together. How many things work together? All things work together. Is that the bad and the good, ain't it? The good, the bad, the ugly. And we know that all things work together for what? That ain't bad, right? For good. To those who what? Love God. And to those who are the called according to whose purpose? His purpose. You gotta be okay with His purpose. Next verse. For whom He foreknew, He knew you before you came into this earth. Look here. He also predetermined, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Next verse. Moreover, whom He predestined. Who's He talking about? Predestined. Everybody say predestined. Amen. Predestined. Predetermined. These He also called. Whom He called, these He also what? He called me and He justified me. So I'm justified from my sin because of His grace. Everybody say grace. Justified. And whom He justified, look, He also glorified me. And here we are. We get to complaining about life. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. We got to focus on these verses and say, wait a minute, all things work together. Life, let me tell you something. You live long enough, life will throw you a lot of lemons. But God, in verse 28, it says, God likes to make lemonade. God likes to make lemonade. So in your hard times, and they'll come, right? The storms will come, the problems will come. But you've got to understand that God likes to make lemonade.
And if you'll trust God in the process and keep on keeping on, fight for your marriage, fight for your church, fight with your salvation. Don't give in to the devil. Don't give in to your flesh. Don't make provision for your flesh. Fight for something. Listen, love is worth fighting for. And if you'll trust God in the process, he'll make some lemonade for you. Amen, church. He works out all things together for our good, for the good, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. God doesn't want us to fear. What did he tell Joseph? What did the angel tell Joseph? He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some of us become fearful when things change in our lives. How many takes change very well? I don't take change that well in my life much. But if there's no change in your life, you're not growing. I'll tell you this. If there's no change, you'll always be comfortable. And if you're always comfortable, there'll be no growth. And God will always call you to come out of your comfort zone. But you know what keeps you from getting out of your comfort zone? Keeps you fear. You know what keeps you comfortable? I'm okay. Pastor, don't ask me. Don't ask me to do that. Right? Fear will hinder you from the will of God. It will hinder you. Fear will. Fear will keep you from filling in an application. Fear will keep you from getting together with your brothers and sisters at church. Y'all with me? Fear will keep you. It'll say you better not love those people because you'll make yourself vulnerable if you love those people. And they'll just turn right around and hurt you. That's what fear will do. But listen, God, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, right? But he's given us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind, a disciplined mind. Listen, a sound mind will not say, I better not love these people, they're going to hurt me. A sound mind won't say that. A sound mind will say this, I need to love these people. They may let me down, but this is what the gospel is all about. They may say some stuff, and I may not agree with everything they say, but that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is about the church coming together, imperfect people coming together, and they have one message. And that is to tell the love of Jesus Christ. And that is to love each other and to serve each other and say, you know what? I'm going to be vulnerable. To love is to be vulnerable. And I'm willing to be vulnerable in order to see the gospel of Jesus Christ be preached and be demonstrated in this world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? We're willing. And Jesus said, by your love for one another, the world will know that you're my disciples. They'll know with your love for one another. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be afraid. See, fear will blind you to the fact that God is working behind the scenes. Fear will cause you to stay on your path rather than on God's path. Fear says you can't trust God with your life because he don't tell you every detail. That's what fear will say. Fear will say, God is not going to tell me every specific detail. He's not going to tell me everything that goes on. So I don't know if I can really trust him, so I'm going to do what I want to do. Right? That's what fear will do. Fear will say, wait a minute, you're going to get rejected. Wait a minute, you're going to get hurt. Wait a minute, you got to get rid of the fear of rejection. And let me say this. Some of us still have that fear in our lives, and it happened way back in our childhood, where someone may have rejected us. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to speak to you prophetically this morning, you don't have to deal with that spirit of rejection anymore. See, when Jesus died for our sins, he died for that hurt too, and the shame and the guilt. See, not only does he want to take away your sins, but he wants to take away your guilt, and he wants to take away your shame, and he wants to take away every kind of fear. Listen, and when you're made whole in his love, when you're secure in his love, you won't have to deal with the spirit of rejection, right? I love him. I love him because he first loved me. And when you're secure in his love, when somebody does reject you, if they do reject you, you can just pray for them, bless them, because you're secure in his love. and you'll know you'll never be rejected by the one true God. Yes, amen. Amen, church. Amen, church. See, a lot of us, every one of us, just about every one of us in this church have dealt with that, have dealt with rejection, have dealt with these things. And you know what we have to do? We got to run straight to the cross. Run straight to the cross and say, God, change my heart. Let me be transformed because I can't, listen, God has a plan for my life. And since God has a plan for my life, I don't have time to hold a grudge. I don't have time to hold bitterness. I don't have time to be unforgiving. I have got to walk in true forgiveness and say, let bygones be bygones. We have got to preach the gospel. It is about missions. It is about Jesus. It is about verse 21. He will save his people from their sins. Pastor, if you knew what they did to me, Pastor, if you knew what they did, I know what they did to Jesus. And Jesus says, if you don't forgive people, if you don't forgive each other, you'll be rejecting the forgiveness that I am offering you. Y'all with me? Forgiveness is so important. Amen. And fear will come in. Listen, fear will keep you from walking in forgiveness. Right? A sound mind. Everybody say, Lord, give me a sound mind. Give me thoughts. Give me a thought pattern that glorifies God. Amen. You know what our problem is sometimes? We listen to everything we think. We listen to everything we think. You don't have to listen to everything you think. I'm going to tell you something here. When you got saved, your mind did not get saved. That's why it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? Mind. Once a week or daily? Daily. You know why you have to do it every day? Because your mind ain't saved. But you're saved. Y'all with me? This is why believers can live in bondage. And they can live in fear and unforgiveness for the rest of their life. They believe in God. They believe in these things. But they don't understand that they're not casting down those strongholds that are in the mind, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Casting down strongholds, casting down imaginations that do not glorify God. Amen. Can I give you some examples on what negative thought patterns we get sometimes? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. The church don't care. Nobody, oh, God don't really love me. Listen, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Listen, I know the enemy, and Jesus said in John 8:44 that Satan is a father of all lies. He sits on a throne of lies. Can I get an amen? I got that saying off the movie Elf. He sits on a throne of lies. Y'all with me? Are y'all with me this morning? Quit listening to everything you think, because everything you think is not from God. Y'all with me? Well, how do I think what God is thinking then? You get into the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if I hear the Word of God long enough, more and more and more, and quit filling my mind with garbage from Hollywood, and quit filling my mind with garbage from movies we have no business watching. We say, well, our kids don't watch that, but we can. Well, if they can't watch it, why are you watching it? Can I get an amen? Amen. Listen, guys, we got to quit filling our minds with garbage and start filling our minds with the treasure. You've got to go from trash to treasure. From trash to treasure. From trash to treasure. You got to renew your mind. Listen, you got to get in the Word of God. Listen, when people start being negative in your life, tell them to stop it. Amen. Y'all with me? Bring out your Bible and start, I don't have time for that negativity. Talk to the hand. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have time for that negativity today. God loves me. And I'm blessed going in, I'm blessed going out. I'm the head and not the tail, the Bible says. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I know things ain't going like I thought it would, but it's just a little detour, and God's just getting me ready for the blessing, and God's just getting, He works all things together, and God likes to make lemonade. And God likes to bless us. Listen, you got to get rid of that mind thought. God wants to hurt me. God don't want to bless me. God wants to bless your socks off. I'm telling you, God wants to bless you. If you'll just receive it. Amen. Everybody say receive. You're not supposed to achieve. It's receive. God already did it. What did Jesus say? It is finished. There's nothing to achieve. But there's all to receive. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Amen. A sound mind says this, a lot of unexpected things are happening, but I will not fear, for God is with me. And that's where we get that in verse 23 of that same passage. He said, don't be afraid. And the reason why the angel told him not to be afraid, because Jesus is Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. What does he say in Hebrews 13:5? I will never leave you or forsake you. And in the Greek, it's actually, I will never, never, double. Y'all with me? I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. If you got God with you, then that means He's not counting your sins against you. Are y'all with me? If God is with you, He will never leave you or forsake you. And that's the reason why you don't have to be afraid. That's the reason why you don't have to be fearful. Whatever you're doing in your life, whatever, wherever you go, whatever you do, you don't have to be fearful. Is God with you? Let me answer that. Yes! God's with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's with you. Is He with me when I mess up? He's with you! Is He with me when I fail? He's with you! Proverbs, though a righteous man fall 7 times... the Lord will pick him back up again. You can look that up. You can find it in the concordance. It's in the Bible, Proverbs. God loves you. I'm just going to tell you this. I don't know if you've heard it enough or if you haven't heard it enough. There may be people in your life right now that has hurt you bad. They've hurt you. They've tore your heart out. They may have said things to you, may have did things to you, but I'm here to tell you that God's love today will heal those wounds. God's unconditional love will heal those wounds. Listen now. If you don't receive that forgiveness and that love that God has to heal you, you won't be on the path. You with me? You won't be on the path that God wants you to be on. So you got to release it. Say, I'm releasing all this stuff right now. I'm releasing all this negativity, right? Sin. And I'm going to receive the grace of God. Here's a good statement. I'm going to stop letting people make me mad all the time. I'm going to stop letting people make me angry all the time. Because if they make me angry all the time, then they control me. And they dictate what I do and my choices I make in life. You got to stop letting people make you so angry. You got to stop letting people make you so mad. You can't control those people, okay? I'm just going to tell you. You can't control people, so stop trying to control them, right? And since you can't control them, anger begins to set in. Or if you can't control, there's an issue of control there. But let me tell you who wants control, full control of your life. God, Jesus, He wants full control. And if you give Him full control, then you can say, and we know all things work together. Are y'all with me? Because when you allow Him to be in control of your life, He will turn the lemons into lemonade. Hallelujah. Can I just jump up and down for joy for just a minute? We know all things work together. We know all things work together. Yes, I'm going through a trial, and I don't know if I'm going to make it, but God is working all things together. Amen, church. See, this is how you keep from burning out. Everybody say, burn out. This is how you keep from burning out and falling away, because you understand God's in control and you're relying fully on His grace, that whatever you're going through, it may be the lowest time of your life, but you got to trust God in the process, and that God will turn it around, and that even a year from now or 2 years from now, man, you'd be like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. That's what you'll be saying. I can't believe it, honey. Look where we're at now. Just think if we would have gave up. Y'all with me? Just think if we would. Look where we're at now. Praise God. Hallelujah. We wasn't weary and well-doing. We just kept on going on. See, this is a message not just for church members. It's for leaders. It's for pastors. It's for everybody. Don't be weary and well-doing. You can't give up. Amen, church? God is with us. You got to see God with you in whatever you do, and you will talk and act like Him. You become whoever you're around the most. Are you self-conscious or Jesus-conscious? You know why people are depressed? You know why people complain all the time? Because they're self-conscious. They're always conscious of self. But when you become God-conscious, all that goes away. Can I get an amen? God is with me to defend me, protect me, and comfort me. God is with us. What I love in Genesis 39, and you can turn over there with me if you want to, it's about Joseph. It's about another Joseph in the Old Testament. And it's in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And it said, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Just stop right there. Now, imagine the hurt that Joseph may have had because his brothers sold him, right? Sold him, did him wrong, mistreated him. I mean, this is a pretty low point right now. That's a pretty low point. I mean, your family, imagine your family. Just take your family, for instance, right? They sell you, and you ain't going to see them no more. It's pretty bad. That is a low point for Joseph right now. Next verse. But the Lord was with Joseph. And even though he was did wrong and mistreated, and he was at the lowest point of his life, it said he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Next verse. And his master saw, look here, not only will you know that the Lord's with you, but the enemy and the world will know that the Lord is with you. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and look here, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. It don't matter. Listen, when you trust God in the process, everybody say this, trust God in the process. Trust God in the process. You keep trusting God in the process. Whatever you're going through, you're content. You're serving God. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Listen, when you trust him like that, wherever you go and whatever you do, you will prosper. Amen, church. You will prosper. Let me say this. You are successful. You mean I'm successful? Go back to that verse 2. Success is in the Bible? Yeah. Of course. He was a successful man. God wants you to be successful. And God wants you to be prosperous. God wants the best for you. But if you'll trust him in the process, walk in a forgiving spirit, and that no matter what point in your life you're in, you know that God is working all things together. Next verse. Okay, made all he did to prosper in his hand. And so, look here. Joseph found favor. What's another word for favor? Come on, Bible scholars. What's another word for favor? Grace. So Joseph found what? Grace in his sight and served him. And look what else happened. He made him overseer of his house. Look what else happened. And all that he had, he put under his authority. So the man gets sold from his family. He's the lowest of the low. But since God is with him, he is promoted in the enemy's territory. So no matter where you go or whatever happens to you, promotion comes from above. Not your job, not your career, not your talent, not your skills. Your promotion comes from God. And look, he promoted all that he had, he put under his authority. So he went from the pit to the palace. Amen, church. From the pit to the palace. Joseph, God was with Joseph. Let's read the next two verses. And so it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Look, whose sake? God will send you wherever you go. And when you trust God in the process and you trust him, God will bless those people you work with. God will bless those people you're around for your sake. That's what it says, is that right? Ain't that what it says? Listen, God will bless people. The people that know you will be blessed. Why? That sounds like you're being prideful. No, it ain't. Emmanuel, God with us. And God is in you, the presence of God. And God wants you to prosper and be successful. Now, I wouldn't preach this if it wasn't in the Bible. Say, preach. Amen. Listen, God don't want you sick, broke, and disgusted. He wants you to be blessed. Why are we so inferior to God wants the best for you? What's so wrong with that? Right? The devil don't want us to believe that. All right, next verse. Say, I'm going to end eventually. There's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. Okay, verse 6. It says, thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Look, he's blessed. He's just blessed. The man is blessed because he found favor and grace. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. That wasn't why he was blessed. Some people say that. But it's because of grace. Everybody say grace. Wow. God was with Joseph. And I'm here to tell you today that Emmanuel, God is with you. God is with you. God's working all things out together for your good. The lemons you have now, God's about to make some lemonade. But you, yes, receive it. Listen, if you sit here and say, nah, he ain't going to make lemonade for me, you know, it ain't going to happen. Because nothing ever happens in the kingdom of God without faith. And you got to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if I can get somebody to believe with me this morning that God's about to make some lemonade in your life, that he's going to work all things together for your good, and that if you'll just trust God in the process, he'll bless you, and you won't have room enough to receive it. Are you coming up with this, Pastor? No, it's all coming straight from Scripture. Y'all believe in the inerrant, infallible, pure, unadulterated word of God, don't you? Well, it's what I'm quoting this morning. And God wants to bless you, not even room enough to receive it. Now, why does he want to do that? Well, he loves you for one thing. And another thing, he wants to see you start loving other people. He wants to see you start blessing other people. Don't hoard it up. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. See, you can't receive if you don't give. Give and you shall receive. If you don't love people, guess what? You ain't going to get no love back. Can I get an amen? Amen. You got to love people. You got to give. Right? How many's thankful? God wants to show up in your life. But you got to say, it's real simple. I said all of that this morning to say this. Trust God in the process. Trust him. Joseph trusted God. Imagine what was going on in Joseph's mind in the New Testament, not the Old Testament, New Testament. Imagine what was going on in Joseph's mind. Man, I was done wrong. Wow, but I still love her, right? Imagine what was going on through his mind, but God showed up. Listen, don't jump to a conclusion too quick. Slow down. Don't make the y'all are about to make a decision too quick. You're living life too fast. You're too busy. You got to slow down and smell the roses. Come to the house and drink a cup of coffee. Slow down. Don't make that decision too quick. Joseph jumped to a conclusion pretty quick, didn't he? Guys, let's trust God. You going to trust God in the process? You going to trust God? What if things ain't going right in your life? You still going to trust God? I'm not pointing at an individual. I'm just pointing at all of them. Right, you going to trust God? You going to trust God in the process? You going to keep going for God? Don't be weary in well-doing. Right, we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9-10. We shall reap, guys. Keep going. Keep going for God. Amen? Y'all receive it this morning? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Whatever need you have, and maybe this message spoke to you this morning. Maybe this message spoke to you, and you say, man, I'm going through a really hard time in my life. Man, I want to accept God's grace right now. I want to accept God's grace. I want to receive God's blessing. And whatever need you have this morning, whatever need you have, whatever you're going through, and I just want to let you know that don't be ashamed to come up here, or don't be embarrassed. And I say this a lot when I give an altar call. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all fell short. And let me tell you something else. We're not perfect. And if you're looking for a perfect church, when you walked in here, it wasn't perfect anymore. Y'all with me? We're not perfect people. And that's why we need a perfect God.